Blog Talk Radio.
Unchain my heart.
Unchain my heart.
Baby, let me be.
Unchain my heart.
Cause you don't care about me. You got me sort of like a pillowcase. But you let my love go to waste. So unchain my heart. Oh, please, please set me free. Unchain my heart.
Unchain my heart.
Baby, let me go.
Unchain my heart.
Cause you don't love me no more. Let me free. I'm under your spell.
Like a man in a trance.
But I know darn well that I don't stand a chance. So unchain my heart. Let me go my way.
Unchain my heart.
You worry me that day. Why leave me through a life of misery when you don't care about a piece of me? So unchain my heart, oh please, please set me free. Under your spell.
Like a man in a trance.
Wow, you know darn well that I don't stand a chance. So unchain my heart. Let me go my way.
Unchain my heart.
You bury me night and day. Why leave me through a life of misery when you don't care about a piece of me? So unchain my heart. Please, please set me free.
Please let me free.
I want you set me free.
Please let me free.
Whoa, set me free.
Oh, I'm feeling good tonight. Y'all better watch out. James Bostic here, Conservative Perspective on Patriot Nation Radio Network. It's Thursday. I'm invariably live, and it's got to be Patriot Nation here at blogtalkradio.com. We have a recorded incarnation of the program that is on the Mojo 50 Radio Network, mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, guess what? You should be, because it is the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio. Mojo50.com. Okay. I went over this on the Sunday program, last Sunday, and it's still alive. It's still got legs. I'm not going to let go of it. We're going to ride it for a little while longer. And it's a horse that I have been beating for a while. And that is, of course, Joe Biden's all too transparent, all too obvious cognitive decline. Hold on just a minute. I had to sneeze. So we're going to have to flash back to Mar-a-Lago. You guys remember what the feds did at Mar-a-Lago with Donald Trump? They're in there. They had to break in to the secured area where the classified documents that Donald Trump, as president, were allowed to take with him. And they threw them all over the floor. Do you remember those photographs where they had the documents just spread out all over the floor like Donald Trump was using that crap as a carpet, you know? Well, they found them everywhere. So turnabout was fair play. And we come to find out shortly after this that Joe Biden not only had classified documents from when he was vice president, but going back to when he was a senator, 50 years. And they were everywhere. They were in the they were at the Penn State University at the Joe Biden Center for Creepy, Corrupt Politicians. They were at his house in Delaware beside the vet. They're everywhere. They're all over the place. So an independent counsel, special prosecutor, was appointed to look into this. His name was Robert Herr. He was appointed by Joe Biden's very own Department of Justice. And here's what shook loose. He did a report. He interviewed old Joe. And he's not going to charge him. He's not going to charge him with his handling or mishandling, as the case may be, of classified documents. But in this report, there were stunning revelations concerning what we have all known. And I don't mean just simply suspected. We have known. And we have known that we know. So the investigation that Robert Herr conducts uncovers the fact and overwhelming evidence that President Biden willfully retained and disclosed classified materials after his vice presidency when he was a private citizen. However, this does not establish guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. We knew he's not going to go to jail. Okay, he's not going to go to jail any more than Hillary Clinton was going to go to jail any more than any of these other high-profile liberal crooks are ever going to go to jail. That being said, this is the bombshell. It was Robert Herr's assessment of Biden's significantly limited memory that was what played a pretty large variable in this equation of deciding whether or not to prosecute Joe Biden. We have also considered that at trial, and this is Robert Herr's report, Mr. Biden would likely present himself to a jury as he did during our interview of him, as a sympathetic, well-meaning, elderly man with a poor memory, based on our direct interactions with and observations of him. He is someone for whom many jurors will want to identify reasonable doubt. The report was riddled with examples and assessments that Biden's mental faculties and memory have deteriorated, saying, in quotes, Mr. Biden's memory also appeared to have significant limitations. He did not remember even within several years when his son Beau died. Now, Biden's often spoke about his son's Beau's death from brain cancer on numerous occasions, but instead would say that he died in Iraq. They found the documents in a garage, in a damaged open box. They found them in hanging folders, binders, everything in that area where the documents were found was, quote, in a mangled state. None of this should surprise us. What is surprising, though, are the comments and the assessments that he made concerning Joe's memory. So the bottom line is the base alloy, when we cook this report down, is that Joe Biden is not competent to stand trial. Joe Biden, the current sitting president of the United States, is not competent to stand trial. The leader of the free world, such as it is not competent to stand trial. So in their wisdom, the people, the men and women, the best and the brightest behind the curtain that we're not supposed to be paying any attention to had decided we have to counter this. This is damning evidence. No, he's not going to go to jail. He was never going to go to jail. None of these guys ever go to jail. Joe Biden's no exception. However, that being said, we can't let this guy, Robert Herr, get away with saying what he's saying. We've got to refute this. We've got to smack this back. We've got to spin it. We got to hit the curveball. Well, in this case, a knuckleball. We got to hit the knuckleball. So we're going to send in our best guy, Brainless Joe. I mean, Joe Biden. What are we going to do? Well, we got to do something to showcase that the old man can still do something. We'll have a press conference. Thursday, January 8th, they had a press conference, and we're going to listen to it. I've listened to it a couple times. I have watched a couple times. And there's just... It didn't work. The press conference is about 12 minutes, 12 and a half minutes, and we're going to play it. And I want you guys to just bear with me. You know my deal on the clips. It's better for you guys to hear exactly what they say out of their own mouths than me half-ass paraphrasing something and bending it to my will. Last Thursday, a week ago, February 8th, Joe Biden at his presser. Now, let me get this thing set up. I'm going to make sure it's not too... Okay, that ought to be good. Just listen. Just listen and ask yourself as you listen, or say to yourself as you listen, remember this as you listen. This guy has his finger on the pulse of the nuclear codes. This guy is the duly elected president of the United States, leader of the free world. See if the guy talking in this press conference matches up with your idea of what the chief executive should sound like and behave like.
Day about their look into my handling of classified documents. I was pleased to see he reached a firm conclusion that no charges should be brought against me in this case. This was an exhaustive investigation going back more than 40 years, even into the 1970s when I was still a new United States Senator. The special counsel acknowledged I cooperated completely. I did not throw up any roadblocks. I sought no delays. In fact, I was so determined to give the special counsel what he needed, I went forward with a five-hour in-person interview over 2 days on October the 8th and 9th of last year, even though Israel had just been attacked by Hamas on the 7th and I was very occupied. It was in the middle of handling an international crisis. I was especially pleased to see special counsel make clear the stark distinction and difference between this case and Mr. Trump's case. The special counsel wrote, and I quote, "Several material distinctions between Mr. Trump's case and Mr. Biden's are clear," continuing to quote, "most notably, after given multiple chances to return classified documents to avoid prosecution, Mr. Trump allegedly did the opposite. According to the indictment, he not only refused to return the documents for many months, he also obstructed justice by enlisting others to destroy evidence and then to lie about it. In contrast," he went on to say, "Mr. Biden turned in classified documents to the National Archives and the Department of Justice, consented to the search of multiple locations, including his home, sat for a voluntary interview, and in other ways cooperated with the investigation," end of quote. I've seen the headlines since the report was released about my willful retention of documents. These assertions are not only misleading, they're just plain wrong. On page 215, if you had a chance, I know it's a thick document. On page 215 of the report of the special counsel found the exact opposite. Here's what he wrote. "There is, in fact, a shortage of evidence that I willfully retained classified materials related to Afghanistan." On page 12, the special counsel also wrote, for another document, "The decision to decline criminal charges was straightforward. The evidence suggests that Mr. Biden did not willfully retain these documents. The evidence says I did not willfully retain these documents. In addition, I know there's some attention paid to some language in the report about my recollection of events. There's even reference that I don't remember when my son died." How in the hell dare he raise that? Frankly, when I was asked the question, I thought to myself, it wasn't any of their damn business. Let me tell you something. Some of you have commented, I wear since the day he died, every single day, the rosary he got from Our Lady of... Every Memorial Day, we hold a service remembering him, attended by friends and family and the people who loved him. I don't need anyone. I don't need anyone to remind me when he passed away. Simple truth is I sat for a five-hour interview over 2 days of events, going back 40 years. At the same time I was managing an international crisis, their task was to make a decision about whether to move forward with charges in this case. That's their decision to make. That's the counsel's decision to make. That's his job. And they decided not to move forward. For any extraneous commentary, they don't know what they're talking about. It has no place in this report. The bottom line is the matter is now closed. I'm going to continue what I've always focused on, my job of being President of the United States of America. Now, thank you, and I'll take some questions.
President Biden, something the special counsel said in his report is that one of the reasons you were not charged is because, in his description, you are a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory.
I'm well-meaning, and I'm an elderly man, and I know what the hell I'm doing. I've been president, and I put this country back on its feet. I don't need his recommendation.
How
totally
bad is your memory, and can you continue as president?
My memory is so bad, I let you speak. That's
your memory has gotten worse.
No, look, my memory is not gotten. My memory is fine. My memory, take a look at what I've done since I've become president. None of you thought I could pass any of the things I got passed. How'd that happen? You know, I guess I just forgot what was going on.
Mr. President,
if voters have concerns about your age, how are you going to persuade them? And do you fear that this report is only going to fuel further concerns about your age?
Only by some of you.
Mr. President, do you take responsibility for at least being careless with classified material?
I take responsibility for not having seen exactly what my staff was doing. It goes in and points out things that appeared in my garage, things that came out of my home, things that were moved not by me, but my staff.
Mr. President, for months when you were asked about your age, you would respond with the words, watch me.
Watch
many
me.
American people have been watching, and they have expressed concerns about your age.
That is your judgment. That is not the judgment of the press.
They express concerns about your mental acuity. They say that you are too old. Mr. President, in December, you told me that you believe there are many other Democrats who could defeat Donald Trump. So why does it have to be you now? What is your answer to that question?
Because I'm the most qualified person in this country to be President of the United States and finish the job I started. I did not share classified information. I did not share it.
With your ghostwriter.
With my ghostwriter. I did not. Guarantee you did not. They did not say that. He did not say that. Let me answer your question. The fact of the matter is, what I didn't want repeated, I didn't want him to know, and I didn't read it to him, was I had written a long memorandum to President Obama why we should not be in Afghanistan. And it was multiple pages. And so what I was referring to, I said classified, I should have said it was should be private because it was a contact between the president and the vice president as to what was going on. That's what it is referring to. It was not classified information in that document. That was not classified.
When you look back at this incident, is there anything you would do differently now? And do you think that a special prosecutor should have been appointed in the first place in both of these cases?
First of all, what I would have done is oversee the transfer of the material that was in my office, in my offices. I should have done that. If I go back, I didn't have the responsibility of that. That was my staff was supposed to do that, and they referenced that in the report. And my staff did not do it in the way that, for example, I didn't know how half the boxes got in my garage until I found out staff gathered them up, put them together, and took them to the garage in my home. And all the stuff that was in my home was in filing cabinets that were either locked or able to be locked. It was in my house. It wasn't out in Mar-a-Lago in a public place and none of it was high classified. Didn't have any of that red stuff on it. You know what I mean? Around the corners? None of that. And so I wish I had paid more attention to how the documents were being moved and where. I thought they were being moved to the archives. I thought all of us being moved. That's what I thought. Now, what was the last part of your question?
Whether a special counsel should have been appointed in this case and in the case of your rival, former president.
I think a special counsel should have been appointed. And the reason I think a special counsel should have been appointed is because I did not want to be in a position that they looked at Trump and weren't going to look at me, just like they looked at the vice president. And the fact is they made a firm conclusion. I did not break the law, period. Thank you all very, very much. I'm of the view, as you know, that the conduct of the response in the Gaza Strip has been over the top. I think that, as you know, initially the president of Mexico, Sisi, did not want to open up the gate to allow humanitarian material to get in. I talked to him. I convinced him to open the gate. I talked to Bibi to open the gate on the Israeli side. I've been pushing really hard to get humanitarian assistance into Gaza. There are a lot of innocent people who are starving, a lot of innocent people who are in trouble and dying, and it's got to stop, number one. Number two, I was also in a position that I'm the guy that made the case that we have to do much more to increase the amount of material going in, including fuel, including other items. I've been on the phone with the Qataris, I've been on the phone with the Egyptians, I've been on the phone with the Saudis to get as much aid as we possibly can into Gaza. There are innocent people, innocent women and children who are also in badly need of help. And so that's what we're pushing. And I'm pushing very hard now to deal with this hostage ceasefire because, as a, you know, I've been working tirelessly in this deal. How can I say this without revealing it? To lead to a sustained pause in the fighting, in the actions taking place in the Gaza Strip. And because I think if we can get the delay for that, the initial delay, I think that we would be able to extend that so that we could increase the prospect that this fighting in Gaza changes. There's also negotiations. You may recall, in the very beginning, right before Hamas attacked, I was in contact with the Saudis and others to work out a deal where they would recognize Israel's right to exist, let them make them part of the Middle East, recognize them fully, in return for certain things that the United States would commit to do. And the commitment that we were proposed to do related to two items I'm not going to go in detail, but one of them was to deal with the protection against their arch enemy to the northwest, northeast, I should say. The second one, by providing ammunition and material for them to defend themselves. Coincidentally, that's the time frame when this broke out. I have no proof what I'm about to say, but it's not unreasonable to suspect that the Hamas understood what was about to take place and wanted to break it up before it happened.
I have absolutely no proof of what I'm about to say, but you know what, man, I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. Here's the okay, now we're going to take a look at this, and there are a couple of things that are remarkable about this press conference, this Joe Biden press conference. He's had the fewest of W, of Barack, of Donald Trump, and himself. He's had the fewest press conferences throughout his term of office. I think it's like maybe 40, and everybody else is in triple digits as far as that goes. And with good reason, okay? You heard why they don't send him out that often. Now, and this is what I want to tell you. Bear in mind, and I have said this for a long, long time. what you just heard, and you can YouTube it and watch it. It's I don't know why you'd want to, but you can, and you'll see this. You'll see what you heard. It'll do nothing but reinforce what you heard. Biden press conferences, Joe Biden press conferences. If you look back on them, they're all very tightly scripted, tightly choreographed. He goes out there and he has a list of reporters who he will call on. And with that reporter, there's going to be on that list, just down from that reporter's name, is going to be a question that this reporter is going to ask. And just below that question is going to be the answer. mother of pearl. That responds to that question. And he's going to go through and he's going to talk to these people. And that's how, but now that didn't happen last Thursday night. You heard everybody shouting at him, Ducey, young Ducey. I can't remember who the old man, what their names are. It's Peter and Stephen. Young Ducey, who is amongst the White House reporters, he seems, to be one of the crusaders. But I think really he's just the only guy that's asking legitimate questions. He's not a sycophant. He's not handing out softballs. They're not really tough gotcha questions, but at the same time, they're legitimate. And the way that that little Cupid doll, Karine Jean-Pierre, the way that Karine handles that stuff, it turns them into gotcha questions, and they just look stupid. So he's out there. The questions are coming left and right. He doesn't. It's not scripted. It's not regimented. It's not structured. He's on the fly as much as Joe can fly. And you heard the results. And toward the end of the press conference, he's already concluded it. He's walked off, but they're still going. And this has got to be driving his handlers crazy. This must make them tear their hair out. He turns around, he stops, he turns around, and then he shuffles his ass back up to the podium to say, I forgot, there was one other stupid, mindless, incoherent thing I wanted to point out. And then he goes, and then he does it, and as you heard it. Now, bear in mind, and I've said this for a long, long time, any time that Joe Biden is out in public, engaged with the media or a public relations event or campaigns, whatever it is, that is the very best. Somebody has made the decision and made the judgment call. We're going to send him out. If we're going to, we better do it now because this is the best he's going to be all day. Now stop and think about that. Leader of the free world, chief executive of the United States of America, president of the United States of America. On that particular day, February 8th, a week ago, that was his best. That was his A game. Now, a lot of you who have seen loved ones, family members go through this, there is a phenomenon known as sundowning amongst memory care, Alzheimer's type diseases. And in one of my previous lives, I was an activities director, and I've worked in my youth with Alzheimer's residents in personal care homes and in nursing homes. I was the bingo guy. Yeah. Anyway, so I've seen some of this. And sundowning is a condition where there seems to be a higher level of agitation. And it has to do with the fact that their circadian rhythms are out of balance with function. So in other words, when they should be winding down and relaxing, they're kind of amping up a little bit. They're a little agitated. They're not real sure why. They get a little more active, maybe a little more vocal, maybe a little more irascible. And I think we saw examples of all that last Thursday. So again, that was Joe Biden's A-game moment for February 8th, 2024. That was it. Now, I want you to take your impressions of that man, Joe Biden, Joseph Robinette Biden, your own personal assessment based on the things that you've seen on television and based on this particular press conference, and I want you to compare it or contrast it, as the case may be, with this. This is the establishment media types and their assessment of Joe Biden's mental acuity.
If you're concerned about Joe Biden's age, you probably don't know Joe Biden.
Biden is actually in good shape.
Right. Mentally, he's quite acute.
Any aide who engages with him or reporters, we can see this. The gears of his mind are working.
The right-wing media has so fixated on Biden and Biden purportedly having cognitive issues.
It's not just making an issue of Biden's age. It's lying. It's saying he's senile, saying he's demented, saying he's out of it.
Russian television has been filled with speculation about President Biden's age, about his mental state of mind.
That's an issue pushed by right-wing media, but it's not correct.
Yeah, Republicans on the other side have spent 4 years almost kind of weaponizing Biden's age against him. Trump is not that much younger than him.
Biden is just a couple of years older than Donald Trump.
Why so much attention on Biden's age? Trump isn't much younger.
This whole vein is really, really unseemly. I mean, ageism.
I'm going to say quite bluntly, there is some ageism going on here.
Yeah, I think there is some ageism going on.
Biden's personal physician wrote that he, quote, remains a healthy, vigorous 80-year-old male.
He is a healthy, vigorous 80-year-old male.
He had a good physical. His doctor says he's vigorous.
The reality is nothing like the dystopian picture that the Republicans are trying to paint of this senile, doddering president, and he's as sharp as a tack.
Same guy, okay? These people that you just heard, these establishment left-wing Marxist progressive pinko commie fag lefts, they're talking about the same guy that you heard in that you spent 12 minutes of your life. You're never going to get back, and for that I'm very, very sorry. But I did this to prove a point, to make a point. Somebody is wrong here. Now, it's either us or it's them. It ain't us. So he's turned loose, and it turns out to, it plays out as what everybody would expect it to be given those conditions, and that's just a perfect storm of a disaster of a press conference based on all these different variables. And somebody thought that was a good idea. And maybe it was. It just depends on for who. Cui bono? Who would benefit from a press conference as calamitous as what we just heard? Well, the roster isn't really that deep, and there are only a few people in, realistically, there are only a few people in the offing. The biggest problem they're going to have to solve is Kamala Harris. She can either be bullied or bought off or a combination of both, and it's going to be tough, and they're going to alienate a lot of people. But if he was put out there on purpose, there's a message being sent from somewhere to someone. Now, who those people are, that's going to play out soon. But they're beginning now, and I said this all along. This is where some of the validation comes in. at some point it's just going to become so bad that they can't cover for him anymore, that the evidence pointing to guilt is going to be so overwhelming that it's impossible even for the most sycophantic of media to say, yeah, you guys just don't like him. You know? No, he's not ugly. He's handsome. It's just bad lighting, okay? No, it's
oh God.
Oh man. So it didn't work, needless to say. Not dead air, I'm just thinking about how to coalesce my next thought. They're so few and far between, you think I'd have plenty of time to prepare. And I've said this for about, I've said this since before Christmas, going back into the summer. More and more negative stories are beginning to surface. More and more bad things are coming out about what's going on in the White House. It's not an accident. People are making decisions, you see? And these people are deciding. The commission is deciding that maybe the Godfather is going to have to go. You know what I mean? One way or another, he's going to have to go. But the problem is, Joe doesn't know most of the time that he has to go. Joe thinks he is as sharp as he ever was. Now, admittedly, that wasn't very sharp, because we can go back through 50. I could play 45 minutes of Joe Biden gaffes spanning decades. And all of it translates into, hey, I'm not a very bright guy. And now I'm not a very bright guy with cognitive difficulties. So I'm really screwed up. But you heard him. He thinks he's the best qualified guy to be running the country. Coming up next, we're going to take a little musical break. I got to find something to drink. Coming up next, I have an interview from Breitbart with Congressman Ronnie Jackson. Now, if some of you aren't familiar with that name, Congressman Jackson is Ronnie Jackson, MD. He's a Republican out of Texas. But during the W administration, the Obama administration, and the Trump administration, Ronnie Jackson was chief White House physician. So he knows a thing or two. And it's about a 16-minute clip, but it's great. And it's worth listening to for a number of reasons. And if you had any questions, if you had any doubts, and I don't know how you could, honestly, I really don't think you will after listening to this interview with Ronnie Jackson. We will be back with more as I scroll through all the crap, find something to play, with a conservative perspective here on the Patriot, yes, Thursday, Patriot Nation Radio Network here on blogtalkradio.com. We do a recorded version of the show on Sundays, and it airs 4 p.m. on the Mojo 50 Radio Network, and Mojo50Radio.com, and it's available on all the platforms that you know that are out there. But anyway, you can go directly to the source, Mojo50Radio.com, and you can my show's there, and a host of outstanding programs as well. More of a conservative perspective right after this.
Well,
talk. There ain't nothing you can tell me I don't already know. I got a rocket in my pocket that I'm ready to go. Let's go someplace so we can rock the fit. I got a rocket in my pocket and the fuse is lit. Makes my bad blood boil. I didn't come here to listen, so cut the scene. I got a rocket in my pocket and a rolling machine. And let's go someplace so we can rock the beat. I got a rocket in my pocket and a fuse lit.
That rockabilly, baby. Dig it. All right, James Bostic here, Conservative Perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network here at blogtalkradio.com. That's what happens invariably on Thursdays, about 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay, it's good to be back here with you. I can't see now. I mean, even, you know, we've talked about it, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more, but I can't see now how anything looks the same. Not after last Thursday. And I'm not talking about just for us. We've known for a while. The elephant in the room that is Joe Biden's cognitive decline is now somehow permissible to talk about. Fundamentally. That's where we're at. I don't think that press conference instilled confidence in any Biden supporter or potential Biden voter in any way. And there are a lot of us that have thought we didn't need that press conference, you know, to make this assessment. We've known it for a long time. We came to this conclusion a while back. But now there are a lot of people, the kind of people that, you know, fundamentally start paying attention to national politics about the time of the convention and, you know, and on to election day. But, you know, we're here day in, day out. We know our way through the weeds a little bit and in the nooks and crannies and the kind of the inside baseball, you know, when it comes to this kind of stuff. So the last thing on earth they want, they know about us. We know they know. And you get the idea. Okay, they're not going to change us. But those people out there, excuse me just a moment, I've got to clear my throat. Sorry about that. Just a little too big of a hit on that massive blunt of liberty, baby. Anyway, those are the people they're worried about. You've heard the old adage, if you throw enough on the wall, some of it's bound to stick. And those people are the wall. So they throw all this propaganda out, and you heard the establishment media's consensus agreement on the status of Biden's brain. We actually got to spend 12 minutes watching Biden's brain in action under moderate pressure. We saw what happened. And remember, that guy in that press conference is the same guy that we heard about that is as sharp as he ever was, which is not really, you know, setting the bar all that high because he wasn't that sharp a dude. Ronnie Jackson. Again, Congressman Ronnie Jackson from Texas, Republican there, was chief White House physician from George W., Barack Obama's two terms, and Donald Trump's term. So he knows a few things. And this was an interview that he did the very next day, so that would have been Friday on Breitbart with Mike Slater, I think is who it was. It was Slater. Anyway, terrific interview. Again, it's about 60 minutes, but it's going to pass quickly, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. Now, the things that he says in this interview, and the reason I say validation is because it's the things that I've been saying for a long, long time. And when I heard this interview with Ronnie Jackson, I said, I knew I was right all along. No, that's not what I said. But it's nice, you know, it's nice to get that validation. But I said, okay, this means, number one, that I've been doing this for a while and my ability to analyze these kind of things, if not improved or is at least in line with some of the sharpest thinkers out there, and, you know, to the egomaniac in me, that's a big deal. Ronnie Jackson, let's go ahead and talk about him.
Dr. Ronnie Jackson from Texas. Congressman, how are you, sir?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Really good to talk to you. So what are your credentials, sir, that you have any authority whatsoever to speak to the health of a president of the United States?
Well, as long as you ask, you know, I was at the White House for 14 years. I was the director of the White House Medical Unit, and I was a physician for President Bush, Obama, and Trump. So pretty much that's what I spent most of my career doing was presidential health.
So you're the most credentialed person there could possibly be in the country to speak on this issue, which is unbelievable. We got news to get to, but how do you get that gig?
Well, you know, I was in Iraq. I was in charge of a surgical shock trauma platoon between Fallujah and Ramadi, and they had six physicians at the White House and two Army, two Navy, two Air Force. They were all family practice or internal medicine at the time. They decided they needed an emergency medicine physician. I was an ER doc. They reached out to me while I was in Iraq, and I ended up interviewing for the job, and I got the job, and the rest is history.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay. Sorry. I would love to chat another day about all that because that is crazy. But what did you witness last night out of our current president of the United States?
Well, it was sad. I mean, you know, I mean, it's scary for our country. We've been saying this for a long time. I have been saying this since before he actually became elected president, that this man is not cognitively fit to be our president. I said that it would continue to get worse. It has. Everyone has continued to see it on a regular basis. They keep him hidden most of the time. But, you know, we all know this is happening. What we saw yesterday was validation from a completely different source. We saw Vice President Biden's own DOJ, right, his own DOJ make these comments that he's not cognitively fit to stand trial for the crimes that he committed with these classified documents, which is unbelievable that, you know, they're saying that he's not cognitively fit to stand trial, yet he's our commander-in-chief, our head of state. And, you know, if he can't stand trial because of his cognitive issues, there, I mean, it goes without saying that he can't be the president of the United States. And so then he gets on TV and he tries to refute this, and he makes it even worse. All he does is validate what they said in the report and what we've all known for years now. And so we're in a bad situation. We're in a situation where even the few people that didn't want to admit that they've lost confidence in this man have lost confidence in him. We're in a situation where our adversaries overseas are looking at what's happening, and they are just licking their chops that we don't have a competent commander-in-chief. And our allies are terrified that you know, that we're supposed to be, you know, their main ally supporting them, you know, in endeavors all over the world. So this is a bad situation.
What are the, and I know there's people listening now who have lived through this with family members, and it's horrible to witness and be a part of, and it's very sad. But what are the signs of dementia or an early onset Alzheimer's that you've seen out of the current president? And again, with your authority as a former White House doctor for three presidents.
Well, it's the same thing everybody else is saying, and you make a good point, Mike, is that you don't even really have to be a physician to pick up on this and to diagnose this to some extent. I'm not making a diagnosis, but, you know, just in layman's terms, because everyone has experienced this with a family member. But it's the same thing you say. It's the slurring with you speak. It's the slurring of speech. It's the kind of the dead stare, the shuffle of walk, the stiff gait, the forgetfulness, the confusion, all of these things, some physical signs, some mental. But they're all there. He has the whole package, right? I mean, it's not like we're picking up on one little thing that's happening. This is he's got the whole set of signs and symptoms, and he's had them for quite some time. And I've told people before, it only gets worse. I'm not giving him a diagnosis. Like I said, I don't know if he has multi-infarct dementia or Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or what the issue is. All I know is that he has serious cognitive decline related to his age. And it doesn't matter what the actual diagnosis is. All of those have the same natural history. They all get worse with time, not better. And we're seeing that before our eyes.
Mm. Let me ask you one more medical question, and then I'll ask you to put your congressman hat on. Is it inappropriate for a medical doctor such as yourself, sir, to speak on a person who you have not analyzed personally? Because you will be attacked for this, just like Robert Hur, the special counsel, will be attacked for daring to say such things. So will you. It's not appropriate for you to speak like this, sir.
Oh, no. I mean, you know, everybody knows, like I said, I'm not giving him a diagnosis. I am relaying to you what we all see on TV. I'm not examining. He's not my patient. He wasn't my patient when I was in the White House. I've said this before. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what medications they're giving him. I don't know what kind of cognitive test he may or may not have had that we don't know about. You know, I am not making a diagnosis. I am simply speaking as a physician with, you know, decades of experience in taking care of presidents of the United States. I'm saying that this is what I see, right? It's obvious to everyone. So, there's not too many people questioning me, to be honest with you.
No, I guess that's right. There's been this talk, and I think it's been half-joking. We actually yesterday randomly played a clip of Theo Vaughn and Tim Dillon joking about and having a good laugh about what they must be injecting the president with in order to get him up to the podium and write like this concoction. And, you know, they're having a good time with it. Like Tim Dillon was like, oh, remember that scene from E.T. when they have like the house all covered up? Like they must be injecting with the toxic chemicals just to get him out. Right? They're having a good time. But it's like, oh, well, I don't know. Do you inject?
They're giving him something. I mean, you know, I'm sure it's a cocktail of something. You know,
like
you can give medications that increase neurotransmitters, you know, like Aricept and things like that that affect acetylcholine in your brain, a key neurotransmitter that can help you with memory and stuff. You can give him like an amphetamine-type drug, you know, to make him more alert. You could give him Provigil to make him more alert. There's a lot of medications out there that you could get. And maybe even, you know, like I said, you know, give him as a cocktail that would perk him up and make him a little bit more alert and a little bit more cognitively intact for brief periods of time. But that's the challenge they have. They don't last very long, right? And these medications traditionally become less effective the longer you use them. So once again, they're in the same situation where they can keep him tucked away and they can hide him in the basement. They can roll him out at what they think is his best time of day and medicate him and hopefully, you know, hope that he can get up and read the teleprompter for a few minutes and, you know, and get him off before he answers, before they start asking him questions, because that's where he has his biggest failures when he tries to talk off the cuff. But they're going to have a much harder time, going forward doing this. And I think I think that's what we're seeing right now.
Wow. So that medical cocktail is a real potential thing that you get. Because I always thought about that. Like, listen, being a president is a young man's game. You travel all. I get jet lag when I go two time zones over.
Yeah.
So, like, this is like a hard job. You're going all around the world. There's got to be uppers and downers that you have to be taking.
Sure. I mean, we all do that. Like when I was at the White House, you know, I mean, We'd get on the plane and we'd fly for, you know, 16 hours to the other side of the planet, and no one slept on the plane except for maybe the president because he had a bedroom, but no one else really got any sleep on the plane, including, you know, the military aid, the physician, the medical team, the Secret Service agents that are taking care of the president. Then we get off the plane and have to work, like, you know, a 14-hour shift. So, you know, you have to, you know, take some Ambien. You have to take some Provigil when the time is right. You have to modulate people's sleep cycles. It's called sleep hygiene. I was pretty much the world's expert on that because I did it so much. But, yeah, you do that. But, you know, people don't – you know, this is different. This is something completely different here. And, you know, people have cut him a lot of slack, especially on the left, for a long time now. But I think the left is starting to get to the point now where they're like, you know, hey, we can't cover for this guy anymore. He's got legit issues.
Okay, let's put your congressman hat on now. Take your lab coat off, your doctor's coat off. Are you calling for the use of the 25th Amendment?
Yeah, I think we're at the point now where they should be thinking about that. And I'm thinking that, honestly, my opinion is that this is orchestrated by the left right now, what we're seeing. The fact that the Biden DOJ was allowed to put that language in the report tells me that they know at this point that he cannot function another 4 years as president. He'd probably be lucky to get to the end of this, but he won't. And they know they screwed themselves. They picked a horrible candidate, a candidate that's going to be trounced by Donald Trump. He's going to get just beat like a drum in the November election. They know this, and so they're in a scramble right now. They're trying to figure out how to get rid of him, and I think this is the first shot across the bow on getting rid of this man. And I think that there were people probably in the Dem Party that were okay with what happened yesterday because they think he needs to go. One of the ways that would happen would be the 25th Amendment. He could resign voluntarily. You know, Jill Biden could do what she should have done, a couple of years ago, is go talk to him and tell him, you know, this is not working out, and maybe we just need to resign and, you know, go back home to Delaware or whatever. She could have done that a long time ago. This is partly her issue. But, you know, she wants to be first lady more and she wants her next breath. So, you know, this is – but the 25th Amendment would be a way that we could do this, you know, even if he didn't want to. So,
have you heard any rumblings in D.C. about how Democrats are viewing this and going to handle this moving forward?
Not really. I mean, we're not in session right now, and so we'll be back in session soon, and I'll start to hear from other Dems about, you know, from Dems about what's going on. But right now, you know, I'm in my district right now, so I haven't heard from any of the Dems. But I'm sure that there are some out there that, you know, are going to be willing to kind of say what they think, at least privately behind the scenes. That's kind of already been going on to some extent. I've already know some that have serious concerns about his cognitive ability and his ability to be president, but can't, you know, publicly say anything. I think that might change.
Yep. Okay. Well, the Democrats have a big Kamala problem. So
that's the only reason I think he's still there. That was the biggest insurance policy anybody's ever got, is putting her in as a vice president.
I never thought of it that way. Everyone always thinks about it as, oh, we put Kamala in because she's a black woman, and you know, that'll help his electoral chances. But you're right. No, it's supposed to put her in there because everyone will know I got to keep this job because no way.
Right.
They prefer that. That'd be a disaster. Have you really thought about the ramifications of the 25th Amendment, though? Because here's one problem with that, and this is maybe one of the attacks you'll get, is how dare you suggest that our president is unfit for office? Because if you don't get the votes necessary to kick him out of office, then you are telling our adversaries around the world how weak we are, and you're just making us weaker, and you're making things worse, Dr. Jackson. Thanks a lot. Why would you do such a thing, you traitor?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, the world needs to know that we have a way to fix this, you know, that we can correct this. And if they enact the 25th Amendment, if a majority of his cabinet and his vice president come to the Speaker pro tem and to the Senate pro tem and the Speaker of the House, and they tell them that this man's not cognitively fit, then he will get voted out with a 2/3 vote in the House and the Senate. So if they go down that path, it's a done deal. But as far as me saying it, I think people expect me to say it. I mean, you know, obviously I'm a Republican congressman from one of the most conservative districts out there. I care about our country. I care about our national security. And I have a background that affords me the unique insight into, you know, how the process would work and what's going on. And so I'm going to keep speaking out.
I'd say you have it. There is a doctor there currently. what are they doing?
Well, I know this guy really well. He worked for me for 8 years, and he is basically part of the Biden family. And it doesn't matter what happens, he's going to cover up anything that's going on. He's not to be trusted. So it's unfortunate, but he's not going to be the answer. He's not going to give us any insight. He's not been honest with us. You know, he's done a couple of quote physicals where he's released a short written statement about how healthy Biden is. You know, I had to do a full physical exam and then stand up before the press for over an hour and defend every single aspect of that physical exam from hostile reporters and hostile medical folks in the audience. And he hasn't been subjected to that because this is a Democrat president and this is Joe Biden.
Wow.
But we're not going to get any answers there.
All right. Well, listen, Trump ain't no spring chicken, Congressman. What do we need to know about his health, former doctor of his?
Well, you don't need to know anything. You watch him. You know, Biden's the one that's been saying for a long time, you want to know about my cognitive health, watch me. And we're watching him and we're terrified. You do the same thing with President Trump. Watch him. This man can walk up, you know, completely unprompted and to a whole gaggle of reporters and stand there and answer questions for them for hours with no notes, no teleprompter, no, preparation whatsoever. And be completely on topic and on target. It's not about, you know, how old you are. You know, I've said this before. We all know people that are, you know, 100 years old that are sharp as a tack. Mm-hmm. And we know people that are in their early 60s that are already having cognitive issues. This is an issue with the cognitive stuff. And, you know, yes, it's age-related because, you know, you don't normally see this when you're 20 or something. But, you know, it happens to some people when they're in their 60s. It happens to some people, you know, when they're 80s. And some people it never happens to. And Donald Trump.
A couple of things he neglected to talk about as well, and that's Ronnie Jackson from Breitbart. The guy's had two brain aneurysms. Biden has had two brain aneurysms, and the second one damn near killed him. So those things, too, I have no doubt play a role in what's going on. But this is the stuff that I've been saying, and not just me, but a lot of people have been saying it for a long time. At some point, and I think the reason they're doing what they're doing is because the disease is outstripping the ability of the medicines to hold it back, to stave it off. I don't think they can do it much anymore. So they're trying to figure out some way to orchestrate events and shape circumstances such that one way or another, he's out of there. You know, they talk to him and he goes out and, you know, after consideration and reflection, I've decided rather than to seek re-election at my age, it's probably more important for me to be surrounded by my family and rest on all my ill-gotten money. But I think the problem is, even though we all know he can't, in the recesses of his mind, old Joe thinks he can still do it. And maybe in Joe's mind, he hasn't really lost that much of a step. So you see the problem here. Not for us, but for the Democrats. And I don't know where they go. I don't care, honestly. I mean, you know, but we have to understand the motivations of these folks. We have to be able, I mean, and all the different characters, because, you know, unless we know our enemy, what motivates them, what makes them fearful, what do they worry about, we'll have a considerably more difficult time defeating them otherwise. So we got to know what's going on. And this is, you know, all kind of really, in a way, it's kind of in the weeds. It's kind of Game of Thrones stuff. But we have to look at it. Now, there's no question about a couple of things. You know it and I know it. And Dr. Ronnie Jackson just affirmed our own suspicions, which have been on the beam the whole time. He barely finish out this term.
9 months, I think, February. Okay, 9 months till the election. Now, he's going to be running the country and on the campaign trail. He's got to be out there kissing babies and pressing the flesh and whistle stops and riding on the trains and eating ice cream in the pickup trucks with the thing and the guys that were secreted by it the Pirates of the Caribbean. Watch me. He's nuts, man. Okay? And I don't care what anybody says. You know what I know. And more people, those people that they don't want them to know about it. Okay? Like I said, those people that are watching, you know, they tune in at the conventions and they watch through the summer and into the autumn. And you know there's not going to be a debate, right? Nobody says it, but there's not going to. How in the hell? Not dead air. I'm just looking at that picture in my mind. There's not going to be a debate. They're going to have some kind of reason because Donald Trump's not a legitimate candidate or because Joe Biden's too busy thinking about the Pirates of the Caribbean or what. You know. So, but there's not going to be a debate. And that's something that's not going to be lost on that group, on their wall. And see what we're doing. Shows like this, shows like Kevin White's, shows like Gary Benford's, the independent media, the alternative media, the people that work at Breitbart, the people that work at America, you know, that write for American Thinker, which incidentally, Kevin White, the American Allegiance Program, published author at American Thinker. Yeah. Okay. We're breaching that wall. They're trying to do everything they can to preserve that wall. They want that wall because having that wall allows them to try and maintain their power. But by programs like this, and like I said, Gary's and Kevin's and so many others out there, like the good folks over at Mojo 5-0 Radio, we're breaching that wall because the people that comprise that wall are looking the other way. They're looking at, wait a minute, what's this guy saying? Hey, did you know that? Listen to this dude. I didn't know this either. Why didn't they tell us this? And plus the accelerated managed decline of the United States at the hands of these people is also something that's not going unnoticed. It's like, they're becoming more and more desperate, so they become more and more emboldened. It's a big fight, people. It's a big fight. Not dead air, man. I'm still here. I'm just... Oh, I was told. But I'm going. We got to talk about Fanny. Or Fani. I think that they pronounce it. It's F-A-N-I. It's not even spelled right for anything. But I say Fanny. The other people say Fani. The way it's spelled is Fan-I. So who the hell knows? Anyway, you know what's going on down there with Fanny Willis and Nathan Wade. A couple weeks back, one of the lesser co-defendants in the Atlanta, Georgia election tampering trial of Donald Trump, the DA, the district attorney, Fani, Willis, I know, and Gary's, he's, I told you not to go there, boss. I told you not to get on that butt, but I am. I'm going to get on that butt. I'm going to ride it, man. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I got the suicide wrap on. I'm already sitting. We're in the gate. And I'm going to go way longer than 8 seconds on this old girl. So comes to find out, she appoints her chief prosecutor, Nathan Wade, a family court guy. He's never handled anything like this. But it's Fanny's man. She's going to go right by him. So they get this thing going. They got this collusion going. They got this thing going on. And it carries over into everything, okay? It spills out of the bed or the bathroom counter or the kitchen table or wherever, you know, wherever they lay in their heads. And it spills out of there and it gets in to the professional stuff. They got a lot in common. They hate Donald Trump. They're ambitious as hell. They see this as a way to get notoriety and to make money. And I mean money. And so they start making money. And they start living it up because they think they're on the right side. They think that no matter what they do, as long as they bring the metal to Donald Trump's meat, they're going to be okay. They're going to be protected. But it's too much. And so today there was a hearing. Do I have that? It's a short clip. Fine Eye, where you at, honey? There she is. Okay, it's only about 30 seconds. She was on the stand. And what they had done, and I listened to it a little bit on the David Webb show, and they've done a great job. The defense has done a terrific job of proving that this relationship started before all the groundwork on the Donald Trump election interference case and how it carried over into it. Where you at, Fanny? Talk to me, girl.
House. I know you classified one as house and one as condo, so I'm trying to use those terms.
So there's this move I don't understand. It's because of this case I got to move. And so I
need to... If you could ask a more precise question.
Yes, please. Give me the time period that we're talking
about. Mr. Wade
about.
Visits you at the place you laid your head.
When?
Has he ever visited you at the place you laid your head?
So let's be clear, because you lied in this. Let me tell you which one you lied in. Right here? I think you lied right here. No. This is the truth.
Judge,
and it is a lie. It is a lie.
All right, Ms. Willis.
You
see. Mr. Sano, thank you. We're going to take 5 minutes. Be back in five.
Now, she's on the stand under oath, slinging these papers around. And the judge says, no. I think ultimately what's going to happen is the damage is too great. And sweet little Annie Fanny is probably going to have to, well, she's not going to recuse herself. Don't ever do that. But she's probably going to wind up being removed in some way. And likewise, you know, her squeeze is going to have to go too. And there's been a lot of billable hours that from this guy's law firm and himself to the DA's office that were approved, just bing, just boom, more money. And they did it. They did just let it flow. They took vacations. They were all over the place. They weren't keeping it secret. And I think that before this information was released, these allegations were made by the defense. What's it got? Mike Norman, I think is his name. Mike Nomad. Anyway, they probably knew for months. Just waiting, biding their time, taking the hits, rope-a-doping, and look what happened. Not dead air, just giving you a moment to pause and reflect. She's going to have to go. And like I said, and I'm sure that wasn't their Sunday punch. That was just their lead. That was, what they've done is they've just used a couple of jabs to bring her out into the open, get her confused, get her flustered, get her to drop her hands a little bit, drop her guard, and then it's going to be, you know, like a haymaking right cross or an uppercut that's going to knock her out of her shoes, and that's going to be it. The evidence will become more and more incontrovertible from this point forward. Let's see here. What else have we got that's appealing to my random neural firings? Let's see. Let me check the pocket. If you guys have Google, there's a thing called the pocket. It's terrific. You can bookmark articles. Since I use it, I've been using it for like 10 years. It's fantastic. Oh. Another boogeyman coming from outer space, the Russians, damn Russians. Yesterday, there was this cryptic thing I saw on Facebook, not on Facebook, excuse me, on Breitbart. Let me see if I can pull that up. And they don't say anything. They don't say exactly what the threat is. Let's see, where is it here? Da, da, da. Shame on Elon Musk for doing something really bad. Well, darn. What is today? Okay. He comes out, the House Intelligence Chairman Mike Turner, former Admiral Mike Turner, says that basically, and this guy's he's a Biden guy, Russians from outer space are coming to kill us. Today, the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence has made available to all members of Congress information concerning a serious national security threat. I am requesting that President Biden declassify all information relating to this threat so that Congress, the administration, or allies can openly discuss the actions necessary to respond to this threat. Now, what he's talking about is, for more than a year or so, the United States has been worried about the idea of Russia potentially creating and being able to deploy an anti-satellite nuclear weapon. And it would be a level of technology that the United States and our allies and other countries in the world most likely would be unable to adequately defend against. Now, right before this latest dangerous Russians from outer space narrative was triggered, okay, guess where the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, the chairman, guess where he was? Guess where Mike Turner was? He was leading a bipartisan CODEL to Kiev, where they met with President Zelensky and senior Ukrainian officials. And what was he doing there? He was reiterating America's commitment to supporting Ukraine in its fight against Russia. Funny how that happens, huh? What are the odds? In an election year, no less. And I'm sure somebody is thinking, hey, you know, wartime presidents, they get reelected. All we got to do is start a war without looking like we started it. Bob's your uncle, and old Joe's head in a jar is president for another 4 years. Oh, we live in interesting times, pal. We live in interesting times. And I think, to be honest with you, I'm out of gas. We only got about 5 minutes left anyway, and I have worn you guys out tonight. And I apologize again once again, you know, for being so clip-heavy in the show. I know it was only two or three, but still, it's better that you hear this as it is said from those who are saying it, oftentimes in its entirety. And like I said, I know that was a little bit long-winded, but I appreciate you bearing with me and hanging in there, because it is important that we hear these things. A conservative perspective is heard here Thursday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Patriot Nation Radio Network here at Blog Talk Radio. What you do is you go to blogtalkradio.com and then search column thing up there somewhere. You type in Patriot Nation Radio, and it will lead you to a conservative perspective. It will also lead you to the American Allegiance program with Kevin White, and that's just going to be a rabbit hole to all kinds of outstanding and, more importantly, reliable information. We take very seriously the opportunities and the responsibility of disseminating what we consider to be the most accurate information we can find out there. And as always, never take our word for it.
look for yourself. That's what we want you to do. The most dangerous thing to a politician in Washington, D.C., to the embedded types, to the bureaucrats who fear change, is an informed and disseminating electorate. I've said it a million times, and I'm just keep on saying it because it's the truth. Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we are on the Mojo 5.0 radio network, mojo50.com. If you're not listening, you should be, because it is the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio, mojo50.com. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here and talk to you guys this evening about the things that, you know, pertain to the interesting times we live in. And with that being said, we'll be back here next Thursday taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless America. We'll see you then.